Okay, I want to greet you here today. We're having a lot of fun so far, so if you're not here today, you're listening online, I encourage you to try to make it here next week. It's a lot of fun. Really like our worship. The presence of God, you know, really touches us, you know, in a lot of many ways, and, you know, I just can't say enough about it. But we're going to continue our series today. Last week we started off with the series Mind Over Matters, and we're going to do this for a few weeks, Mind Over Matters. Today we're going to talk about a fearful mind and how to get free from fear. You know, because that's where we get attacked a lot in our mind. I'm going to do, you know, I was going to do fear and worry together, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down. This week's going to be freedom from fear, and I believe next week is going to be winning over worry. Both of them are really close to each other, but to me, fear is like worry on steroids. And worry can turn to fear if you let it, but we're going to talk about that next week, so you want to make sure you don't miss that. See, the Bible talks about fear. It says that, you know, where there's fear, there's torment. You know, it's very tormenting when we have fear operate in our life, and fear can be very debilitating. It can really mess with our mind, and I believe that's why the devil really uses fear against us. Because it's one of the things that keeps us in check and not being able to accomplish, you know, everything that God wants for us. He wants us to pull back instead of press forward. Remember, we look at Apostle Paul quite a bit. You know, he always talks about pressing forward. You know, no matter where we're at or what we've done or what we're wanting to do, we need to continually be pressing forward. See, God wants us to be free from the spirit of fear and to be able to fulfill the future he has planned for us, because each of us has a future that God has foreordained and planned that we need to start walking in. Now, we hit it sometimes, and sometimes we miss it. But primarily, you know, if we keep following God, we're going to make it. Now, our key scripture that we talked about last week, I didn't put it up on the screen, I'm not going to today, but it says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct us, but we have the mind of Christ." That's in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Now we're going to look at Mark 4:35 to 40. But that scripture in Corinthians, it talks about having the mind of Christ. And that's available to every believer that is born again. Those who have the blood of Jesus have been applied to their life and they're walking in the things of God. God gives us the ability to have the mind of Christ. And what that basically and simplistically means is that we can start to see things like Jesus sees things. I don't know about you, but that's cool. When you can start to see like Jesus sees, I mean, you're definitely on a roll to having some good things start to happen in your life. Now, we're going to look at a little passage today in Mark chapter 4. I guess it's got a few verses there, but it's verse 35 to 40. And it's talking about Jesus, how, you know, they were in a boat. And in that boat, he dozed off and went to sleep. He'd probably had a hard day of ministry. And then he was sleeping, and they were traveling by night. And then a storm came up, and how many know we have storms in life? It says, "On that day, when evening came, he said to them, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We break every yoke of bondage, every stronghold in our mind that holds us back from seeing truth. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, this passage of Scripture is definitely interesting. Some of the dynamics that kind of go around in this passage. And it talks about fear in the storm. And, you know, that's what happens sometimes. I can't think of anybody anywhere that does not ever have a storm come into their life every now and then. We all have the wind come up or the waves breaking over our boat. All these things happen. And when those do, have you ever let fear sink your boat? I think we all have, haven't we? There's been a time in our life where, for whatever reason, we got into fear, we pulled back, and we let the devil sink our boat, and we pulled back from the dream or the vision, whatever it was we felt that God was leading us into, and we let that come in and control our life. Now, the people that Jesus was working with here, you know, they were your common everyday folk, and the truth is, several of these disciples were fishermen, so they was pretty knowledgeable about boating. And they was fairly knowledgeable about being able to read the sky. And I'm sure they'd been in a storm or two in their life, out on the boat. And I know I've been in some storms. I mean, I've had some, you know, things. I mean, like I told before here, you know, one time I was at a conference over in Iowa City, and a storm come up. And we heard it on our phones or the radar or whatever. And all of a sudden, I figured I could outrun it. You know, that's me. You know, I just, it ain't gonna stop me. I'm going home, you know. Well, I made it to my truck, and then the wind of the roof of the church blew off after I made it to my truck. So I knew that this probably wasn't the wisest choice I've ever made. So I just grabbed a hold of my steering wheel and hang on. And my truck was kind of shaking a little bit. And make a long story short, God spared my life. I'm here today. A trailer got picked up and it rammed my truck right behind where I sat and bent the frame of my truck. So that thing was going fast. And then I drove my truck home. I mean, you know, as I look back, you know, what was I thinking? But I just, you know, I just knew, hey, it runs. What the heck? You know, it was a Ford, baby. We're going home. No, I know some of you don't like Ford. It's so good. But anyway, you know, I was in a storm, and that's not the only storm I've been in. See, what happened, you know, is the weather probably looked fairly decent when they started out, and that's the way it is for us in our life. We start out on things and going through life, and the weather looks okay, and then before we know it, everything changes. The dynamics of our life, things that's going on around us where we thought we had security, we have instability now. And these things just kind of come on us all of a sudden, and that storm just out of nowhere, bam, just hits us. And that's the way the enemy tries to operate. And we've all experienced some storms. Like I said, maybe, you know, there's a job loss just out of nowhere. You know, you just kind of lose your job and you're just kind of afraid. Well, how can I take care of my family? How can I be able to support myself or do whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing? You know, I've just lost my way. I've lost my job. What do I do now? You know, I remember I kind of felt like that a little bit in the 80s. The 80s were kind of tough here in Iowa. So I moved to Colorado at the time, and that was the best thing I ever did. But, you know, I just remember that uncertainty where jobs were scarce and the fear of how can I take care of myself? How can I pay my bills? And so that's a valid fear. That's something that comes in our life sometimes. Or maybe, you know, we've had a health scare in our life or in our family. Where all of a sudden, everything on the outside just looks good, but all of a sudden, boom, you go to the doctor and they tell you this report, and it just ain't the report you want to hear. And then it's so easy just for fear to start to come in and to overwhelm our mind and to try to get us to pull back. See, when these thoughts come in, I think a lot of it has to deal with the fear of the unknown, because it's that idea of when we can't control a situation, and that unknown out there, and just how we're going to fix this. And I'll be honest, people, there's some things we're going to find out that we just can't fix. That's why we need God. Because not everything in life that we're going to come against is fixable. And usually what happens, unless we train our mind, and we're going to get into that later on in the series, how you can train your mind, but usually our mind goes to the worst case scenario. You know what I'm saying? We go from, boom, this is a problem, to all of a sudden, man, this is the end of days. You know what I'm saying? We think this is it. You know, it's over. But usually that's not the case. See, our mind is a thing that we've got to be careful, because there's a power that's in fear that you and I need to be able to recognize. You know, sadly, fear is a driving force in many people's lives. You know, and hopefully you're not one, but if you are, there's hope, there's deliverance through Christ to be able to get free from that. But, you know, a lot of people drive their lives by fear on what could go wrong and all these things, and it caused them to make wrong decisions. See, when we focus on fear, we are setting ourselves up to fail. We're setting ourselves up to fail. And we need to be able to recognize that and know that that's not normal. That's not normal behavior. That's not the behavior that God wants us to have. See, fear is like a magnet. It'll draw us to failure. And if we're not careful, that's what's just going to happen. Remember, Job said that what I have feared has come upon me. Well, what did he fear? Well, he feared that his kids weren't living for God and that they were going to get together and do some partying. And they did party, you know, whatever that meant. It didn't really go into it. But he's afraid they would say something against God or do something wrong. So Job would continually make offerings for them. But he didn't do it out of worship. That's really what offerings are for. He did it out of fear. And then he said, then when his whole family was wiped out, he prophetically said what was going to happen. I believe that if we have fear, it's going to draw problems to our life. It's a prophetic word from ourselves, from our mind. And we need to be able to overcome that. See, fear can cause us to freeze up. It's like a deer in headlights. You know, you get afraid to move. I've never been in a minefield, but could you imagine? You know, what it's like to be in a minefield. I mean, those who are in the military that have went through some things, and they're out there, and all of a sudden, hey, you're in a minefield. Where do you step? Huh? What do you do? What's your next step if you're in a minefield? Think about it. You know, and see, that's what fear does to us. It puts us in a minefield, and we're afraid to make the next move. And you know, those are things that happen. See, what happens is that when these things get us, we can start to get a little freaky. Have you ever got freaked out when you're fearful and said some things? You know, the disciples. I don't know about you, but the wording of this, you know, in the Greek and what it means when they told Lord, "Hey, don't you care?" It wasn't, "Hey, Lord, don't you care about me?" Is, "Lord, don't you care? Why are you letting this happen to me?" That was where they were. And that's where we can get. And see, what happens when we're in fear, we can say some things that we're going to regret. So I think the best thing we can do is to be able to guard our tongue and have that pre-programmed in us so we don't say something to get in trouble. But the good news is the blood of Jesus can wash it and make us clean. Now, here's some common fears that we all face. You know, the fear of lack, we kind of went into that a little bit about the job situation. Everybody has a fear of lack. That's why people hoard a lot of times. I mean, they keep everything. They don't want to get rid of anything and gather, 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 keep, have all this stuff. I'm preaching to myself right now. I need to clean out my office. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just, you know, we just have that fear of lack. And then there's also the fear of the unknown. You know, what's around the corner? We can't see around the corner. We can only see to the corner. So there's that fear of the unknown or what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen with my job or what's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my marriage? You know, all these relationships. Another one's fear of failure, and this is where people kind of makes it a little more real. You know, we're afraid to fail. And I think of the parable of the talents. And you remember that story where, you know, the master was giving out talents, and that wasn't gifts, but it was talking about money. And he gave one five and, you know, another two and then another one. Well, we know the five and the two went and done something with it, but the one said, "I was afraid. I was afraid." And so what he did, he hid it. And then when he got back, the master took it away from him and gave it to the one who had 10. See, if we're always afraid to make a mistake, we will never make a move. And I'll be honest, parents, I'm going to preach to us a little bit. You know, overcorrective parents can put that on a kid. If we're trying to make our kids so perfect in everything, we're going to make them so they can't move. You know, I was just talking to somebody recently, and they talked about, and the next thing was a coach. An overcorrective coach can do it. And this illustration was about a coach, and the coach that if they ever made a mistake, he would just take them out of the game. No grace, no nothing. So, it sounds like he was trying to teach the kids, don't make a mistake, but what he was doing, he put so much fear in them that they were afraid they were going to make a mistake that guess what happened? They made mistakes. So we who are adults need to be a little smarter in the things that we do, because technically we should learn from our mistakes and not let them define us. You know, a lot of the most successful people in the world If you ever hear their story, we just see their success. But if you ever read their book or hear them talk about things, they talk about all the mistakes they made. If you don't make a mistake, you're probably not doing anything. Because you have to try things. You have to get out of the boat like Peter did. We have to try things. What happens then also is another thing, we're afraid to be alone. Some people are afraid to be alone, and guess what? They jump into a toxic relationship. At least they have somebody around for a while, and then it destroys that relationship. Fear of dying is another one. A lot of people are afraid to die. That's another fear that's common. Jesus took that away, so that's an easy one. Now we're going to look at Jesus here a minute, He said he was sleeping. I don't know about you, I've been in the storms, but I've never slept through a storm if it was coming. Just think about it. Jesus was in the boat, in the stern of the boat. I looked it up. That's the back of the boat. You know, I'm not really a boat person, but I guess that's what it was. But it was confirmed when I looked it up on Google. And in the back, and to me, the back of the boat, usually the part that sinks a little lower, because you don't want the front to sink lower, because I guess you would, you know, go down. But, you know, so the back of the boat. So water was coming over the boat. The wave, it was blowing hard enough, it was getting water in the boat. Jesus in the boat where it's probably the most submerged. Now, he might have been up on a cushion, it says. But I'm sure he was getting wet. He had to get wet. But he slept on. Didn't seem to faze him. Now the disciples, on the other hand, they were getting a little bit kind of nervous out there. And I don't know a lot about boating, but to me, the water's supposed to be on the outside, not on the inside. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know a lot about it. You know, my wife wants to go canoeing. We may do that one of these days. I better do it before I get too old, but she wants to go canoeing. We're going to do that. But I do know that I would prefer the water on the outside of the boat and not inside the boat. Now, what I found out is the safest place to be during the storm is to be in the same boat that Jesus is. You know, but they didn't recognize that. You know, they were panicking. They thought, oh my gosh, you know, Jesus, we're going down. And see, but they were safe. They just weren't aware of it. Now, what I thought was interesting about this passage of Scripture, it says that there were other boats following along, but they didn't have Jesus. You know what I mean? So what happened, Jesus was preaching. He's probably out in the boat preaching. All of a sudden, they said, it's time to go. He said, it's time to go to the other side. Well, there were other boats all around him, so they headed off, and these other boats just followed along, just along for the ride. You know, they weren't maybe, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't make the cut. They didn't get in the Jesus boat. You know what I mean? But they followed on anyway. And that's what we're going to look at here for a moment. I got to thinking about this, is that the boats without Jesus, to me, that's like being up a creek without a paddle. And see, that's what happened here, is these other boats. How do you feel that think that the other people felt that was in the storm that did not have Jesus in their boat? And I'm talking about the lost right now. There's a lot of people out in this world that don't have Jesus in their boat. He's not in with them. And they're going through the same things that you and I are going through in life. All these problems and this turmoil and all these things that, you know, that's why many of them self-medicate or do other things to try to get by and get through some of the problems, you know, that they have going on in life. And, you know, and we as church people, sad to say that we just have a tendency to think about the people, you know, inside the church. And that's fine. We need to care for each other. We need to love on each other. We need to pray for each other and be there for each other. But also we need to think about the ones who are going through life without Jesus and how scary that is. I can still remember some of those feelings, not knowing what would happen if I died. Not knowing, you know, I was raised during the Cold War and, you know, thinking about, it was always planted in your head that Russia's going to push the button. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're going to push the button and we're going to be nuked. And then we're going to push the button back. I mean, that was something as a young, in my 20s, it was kind of implanted in there. Not knowing for sure, I'm not saying it kept me awake at night a lot, but I mean, it was a truth or a reality. And so I know what it's like to go through life. The Bible says that God said in Jonah about the lost people of Nineveh, they didn't know their right hand from their left hand. That's how lost they were. And see, that's how lost people are without Christ, without Jesus Christ in their life. And to me, it brings a sense of hopelessness. You know, that why press on? Why keep trying? There's no hope. There's no future. And see, that's what's going on in this world today. I believe that's why people are acting the way they are right now. Because inside they have no hope. So they lash out. And they try to, you know, take things into their own hands. And it's just as a mess. So what do? We need to put our Jesus glasses on. Remember, we got a pair of those last week. And so we need to look upon the lost with love and not judgment. That's hard. Because sometimes the lost can really irritate us. They can say some mean things or some bad things or do some things. So we feel sometimes that, God, judge them. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have said that. But how many thank God that God didn't judge you? Amen. When we were lost? When we were out there, you know, trying to tread water and our boat's going down? See, people lash out when they're afraid. We need to be aware of that. I don't believe most people are really mean, you know, but people do mean things. And that's a fact. And they lash out. And a lot of us, because of their problem, their insecurity, their fear in their life. And I know that just as human nature works, so as they get uglier, they have that self-preservation mode kicked in. So we who are wise, right, with the mind of Christ, we can see through that and say, well, that's not really you. You know, you're just scared right now. You got some things going on. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about somebody who can be able to carry those fears away from you and be able to set you free, to be able to put you in a place where you have confidence, where you used to be fearful. And that only happens if we start to cut people some slack. See, if we want God to cut us some slack, I think we should cut other people some slack. Now, it traces back to trust. And most of our successes in life, what I found in my life, is that my successes can be traced back to my level of trust in the Lord. But on the other hand, my failures in life, I have traced back to my lack of trust in the Lord. It's when I went and did it my way. And it just didn't work out. The second to last passage I want to look at here is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And really that's where we need to get if we want to get free from fear, is to lean not to our own understanding. See, we all deal with that fear that comes on. I mean, just the other night, my wife and I were watching a program, and it was a clean program. It wasn't nothing. Then all of a sudden, somebody, you know, they were in a haunted barn or whatever. So it wasn't haunted, but that's what they thought. And all of a sudden, somebody stuck their face in there, and man, I just jumped in my chair. I mean, I wasn't ready for that. You know, all of a sudden, boom, fear just came up inside of me. I mean, I didn't run out of the house or nothing, but I mean, man, it hit me. I don't watch scary movies, to be honest. Some people like it. I don't. It's just not my thing. You know, I know what fear can do to life, and I just don't even want to go down that road. But, you know, but if we lean to our own understanding, Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? How is it you have no faith? See, they've been watching him minister. They've been watching him do things. But for whatever the case may be, it was okay as long as there was no storm. I got faith in Jesus, man. I'll follow Jesus anywhere. I'll do anything Jesus wants me to do until there's a storm. See, that's when we're tested. That's when we find out our level of trust. And that's why we need to have faith over fear. See, human reason is no match for the storms of life. Like I said, there's some things in life we're not going to figure out. See, logic can only take us so far, but then our faith must kick in. We need to have faith. See, human logic is always going to hit a wall, but faith will bring the wall down. How many here would say that maybe they've hit their Jericho wall? They've come to a place in their life, and they know that wall is holding them back. Remember the story? That wall came down. God dealt with that wall. Man didn't deal with that wall. They didn't shoot arrows over the wall. They didn't try to make a catapult and, you know, throw things over the wall. No, God brought that wall down. And see, they had to trust in him. But to do that, they had to do it God's way. It was kind of silly, really, if you look at it. First, they walked around the city and every day, and then they went home. Wall still there. Well, then the last day, they walked around it more times, maybe seven times, and the wall came down. See, that doesn't make sense. Why didn't God just do it the first day? I guess because he didn't want to. But he wanted us to do it his way. And when we do it his way, the wall comes down. See, there's two kinds of fear that I see. There's a spirit of fear and there's a pattern of fear. Now, the spirit of fear comes on as sudden and it just comes out of nowhere. You are not prepared for it. All of a sudden, boom. Wow, I'm afraid for some reason. Don't know why that is. You know, to me, that's a demonic spirit that has come and just tried to instill fear in you and just need to deal with that. Now, that's bad, but I believe there's one worse. And that's when we kind of have the situation where, you know, the pattern of fear is thinking that has been established by wrong thinking. What happens is that we've walked in fear over a period of time, and then line upon line, precept upon precept, we keep feeding our mind with fear, and right now, that's how we look at life, because that's the pattern of the way that we look at things. Fear has been so established in our life that that's how we respond to the world around us. Well, how many's had a sweater before, and you had that little thread sticking out, and somebody comes up and pulls your thread? Everything starts to unravel, doesn't it? That's what we need to do to that fear. We need to pull that thread and unravel that thinking in our mind. And it's a process. It's a process of reestablishing truth in your life by the Word of God. And you keep putting that in there and it keeps forcing that wrong thinking out, and it helps you to start having the mind of Christ. And see, do you fear? Do you feel that fear is holding you back? And what we do is we have to unravel that. We have to unravel that diabolical thread or that diabolical hold that Satan has on our life. And like I said, it starts by establishing that clear thinking or that right thinking. So how do we overcome? I believe we learn from our spiritual experiences if we're smart. You know what I mean? You know, you shouldn't have to learn the same things twice, right? Hypothetically. I think it's good if you're dealing with fear, read through the book of Psalms. You know, I just started that in my Bible reading. I read through the Bible every year, and I've been doing it since 1985. And I'll tell you what, that helps. Sometimes I don't know where to read, but I do know where to read if I can read my chart. And then I go off to other places, but, you know, I just kind of, it helps me to see where everything is in the Bible and how things fit together, because it does. But I'm in the book of Psalms now. And every time I go through there, I just am amazed at the things, how David was just so candid with God. Just talks to God about things that are real, the things that you and I deal with. And so we hear the cry of David's heart, and that needs to be the cry of our heart when we cry out to God. God, why is this happening to me? God, why do these things come up, and what's the deal with this? And David does, and then he always comes back, same thing. God is good, you know, God's got this. I mean, he always does that, but he pours out his heart. And so sometimes we just got to get it out of our system, I think. You know, I think we also need to speak to your fear and command it to go. You know, the word works. Now, Jesus said, let's go to the other side, right? If Jesus told the disciples to get it, or that are in the boat, let's go the other side, you're going to go the other side. If you have a clear word from God, no matter what the storm, no matter what the situation, if God says you're going to go somewhere, you're going to get there. Because God's truth. Then also, he says, he spoke to the storm. You know, I think we need to speak to the fear, you know, and deal with that, because no matter what comes our way, we can overcome. He didn't pray to the storm. He didn't say, oh, Father, hallowed are you, Lord. I pray against this storm, Lord, that you take it from my life. No, he didn't. He said, shh, be still. He spoke to it. He told it what it needed to do. The vernacular in the Greek, what it's talking about, these same words when he dealt with hush, be still, especially the be still part, is the same words that he used when he talked to the devil. the same kind of words that he used when he spoke to Satan and told him what to do. He didn't say, please. He told him what to do. And that's how we need to speak the things in our life that are a problem. I know it may seem silly, and it might have looked silly to the disciples when he spoke to the waves, but when they stopped being waves again, he didn't feel so silly, did he? They started to rejoice. See, we need to trust in our Lord with all our heart and not half-hearted. Remember, we talked about being double-minded last week and how important it is not to be double-minded. You know, perfect love casts out fear. You know, we need to remember where it comes from. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a strong mind. So you and I need to be part of the resistance. We need to resist the devil and he'll flee. That's what the Bible says. We have to resist him and decide not to accept fear as normal. You know, maybe, you know, you've been plagued with it all your life. Maybe since a child, you know, just fear has been instilled to you by what parents, coaches, devil, teachers, whoever, however it got in your life. And maybe you know that, you know, you deal with this. I want you to know that God can set you free and decide not to accept fear as being normal. It's not normal to have fear, especially as a Christian. Bible says in closing, Isaiah 41:10, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here we see a promise from God to deal with fear. God knows we deal with stuff here. He knows the things that we go through. But God wants us to live victorious. Because we all know that fear is a liar, right? Fear is a liar. And that's how the devil does. He comes in and lies to you and tries to get you afraid. Let's pray.